What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. As always, we are with the captain, Mr. Andy Full. I'm your host, Bailey Eichbrett. Andy, it's been a hectic few weeks trying to get our consistent
story of 2023.
Yeah, it's been all over the place. Where it's travel for my work has been just bonkers and really hard to schedule these shows in. And then Andy and I will plan on filming shows to make up for the times we're going to be out. And then when we go to do it, either internet crashes or plans come up or whatever have you, like travel gets all mixed up. It's been really rough trying to get these things. Yeah, everything's been all jacked up. So finally, we're back. We appreciate you guys and your patience with us over these past couple of weeks, and I promise that is going to get better here soon as we get into the fall and some things start winding down. At least I hope so anyway, because I missed the consistent shows and getting and talking with you guys, because we have some really cool topics we've been wanting to talk about. We just haven't had the opportunity because we just really haven't been putting out shows lately. So with that, we are back. We are back and consistent. Next week, we got some cool shows coming up on the show. We'll have Easton Fothergill, I believe I pronounced that correctly. But I got in touch with Easton, who won the college bracket, going to the Classic.
Oh, that's
sweet. He's coming on live next Tuesday night. It's going to be a good one, as well as we have our friends at X2 joining us for something pretty special. We'll save that for next Tuesday. But beyond that, Andy, this week has been hectic. I was down in Florida for the ASA Summit, which is the American Sport Fishing Association, and they try to essentially get everybody from the industry together once a year for a summit to talk about the different topics, issues, different things like that. Some of the stuff is, you know, not really something I would ever really
more forward facing band talk.
No, that never actually came up. It was actually interesting. There were some conferences on like how AI is being incorporated and how the fishing industry could utilize it, because fishing industry is always 10 to 15 years behind everything else. We're always slow to the punch. But no, really the biggest thing I took out of it is, you know, ASA has some people and some organizations that are involved, that, basically we have these groups that are at Capitol Hill in DC that are going to bat for all of the outdoors folk, trying to preserve what we have, because there are people they have no idea how any of this, how fishing, hunting, whatever works, and are trying to basically impede on our livelihoods. So they're going to bat for us. It's a very, you know, from our eyes, we see these suits and, you know, ties and everything, these fancy people. And, you know, it's kind of like you don't get interested for a second, but you realize these are actually some of the most important people we have in the outdoor industry, because they're the ones that are, one, protecting us, but also making some serious change. And the biggest thing, I don't know if you knew this was going on. I had no idea this was going on. But apparently there is trying to be a lead ban right now.
Like across the board lead ban?
Across North America, a lead ban, which would basically 95% of jigs in all of the retailers across the country would be, you know, jigs, spinnerbaits, chatterbaits, anything that's lead. Oh, that's what they're trying to get rid of.
Jeez.
Well, so to my understanding, what I was told was this has a huge impact on fishing, but it's actually the political stance on it is they're trying to go after bullets.
But, and then what happens is the gun right people get mad. Not the gun right people, but the hunting sportsmen get mad about the fishermen being able to use lead. That's what happened in New York State. I don't know, with like goose hunting lead shot in the shotgun shells, they used to be lead BBs inside of them, and they moved it to whatever it is. And then they banned all like lead in New York State underneath a half ounce for sale. So you can use it in New York, but you can't buy it underneath a half ounce. Unless it's already on a manufactured lure, like a jig. So you can buy like lead split shot or bullet weights or drop shot weights that were under a half ounce in a retail store.
Yeah, I think, I mean, overall, I mean, I understand lead isn't the greatest material. But if you remove lead the impact it has on sportsmen's is unbelievably huge, from hunting to fishing to all over the board. I mean, it is astronomical, I think, the numbers that it would impact, because essentially yeah. you're talking about you're going to have only tungsten spinnerbaits, bladed jigs, jigs, weights, everything's got to be tungsten.
Everything's getting more compact, that's for sure.
That, and it's more expensive. But either way, essentially, I'm not too worried about it because we have some awesome individuals over there going to bat for us. So that was probably my biggest takeaway from the week, and it was a good visit, because one, I get to go and hang out with a bunch of people that I get to see at the Classic or Red Crest, things of that nature. I don't get to see all that often, so it was good to have some drinks, have some food with people, catch up. But yeah, that was good. More details to come from that. And then lastly, we have a cool show today. It's not going to be a crazy long episode today, but Andy and I were thinking about something where we're talking about all these different lures. And it's funny, this actually came up. We talked about this episode, I think, last week, Andy. And I was sitting on one of the shuttles to dinner last night with Gary Klein. And we were talking about some of the old baits that basically nobody really throws anymore. And he's got one he showed me, and I won't say it out loud yet. When we bring Gary back on the show, I'll let him talk about it if he wants to. But he showed me it. I've never seen anything like it before. And I ordered a few last night, and he was telling me he was spilling some beans. So if it actually works, we'll spill the beans. But essentially, what I was trying to get at is Gary's like that foundation of knowledge of going through the industry. He's been in it for such a long time that he would have been perfect for this one, because we're talking about the forgotten lures in bass fishing.
Yeah.
And so that's the premise of today's show. Andy and I are going to go and list through our top three forgotten lures in bass fishing. But we also have some other ones here that we asked you guys. We put it out on social, on a story, but also put it out on a reel. And we had some really, really
good comments. You want to read off some of the ones that our viewers read in before we even talk about ours? Because maybe there's even some overlap.
There is some overlap, but I will avoid some of the ones that we're going to do. That way we can keep it somewhat of a surprise.
I like it. Yeah, that's good. But
you guys had some really good ones. So our boy Brendan over at Brown Bait Co. said curly tail grubs, which I think the only time I really see a grub nowadays is on like a spinnerbait. Our boy,
Tackle Talk,
which, by the way, congrats to our boy Andrew Hayes at Tackle Talk. 3 million downloads.
Insane.
Unreal. The kid's raking. He does an incredible job. Super professional, clean. He's very creative. He's one that I've told him personally to his face, I am not jealous of you. I am envious of you, just because your brain is so creative, clean. There's so many times where I'm sitting there, well, he'll do something. I'm like, damn, I wish I thought of that. Yeah. Just really impressive, and glad to call him a friend. Somebody that we aspire to chase. And it's cool to collaborate with him, but seriously, 3 million downloads is freaking, it's incredible.
It's money.
And he had a good one in here. He had a good one. And he said, he actually had two answers, the scrounger as one of them. But he also said, let me pull this up here on Instagram, because we have submissions all over different channels here that are good. I'm trying to get to. So he said the scrounger, but also an inline spinner, jig and pig, and the jitterbug.
Oh, all the old ones. Jitterbug. You know, it's funny. I don't think I ever caught a bass on a jitterbug, but I've caught plenty of pike on them when I was younger. Like, some of the pike bites you got on a jitterbug as the sun was going down were like some of my most fond childhood memories of like growing up and becoming the angler that I inspired to be into. And today, like, I have very good, and a hula popper. Like, I've seen some big pike come out of hula popper too. So yeah,
that's one of the other answers too, was the hula popper. But back to the jitterbug, like, that has basically been the inspiration for some of these bat lures and bird lures and things like that. I've been seeing some people post some different JDM stuff that are like, that's basically spider. Yeah, so basically what I went after was the jitterbug. Same concept anyway. I shouldn't say go after, but same concept. They're super cool. There's been some that have been getting posted lately, some JDM ones that like look like bats and different things. I'm like, I just want to freaking throw that just to see what it goes.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine going just throwing that over like a flat of spawning smallmouth and just seeing what would happen? Yeah.
Just going especially nuts if it went like slightly subsurface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some other ones just to run through, and Andy and I will start going through ours here, is a tube. I think a lot of people still throw the tube, but you definitely don't hear about the tube being talked about very much. I think the last time, at least in media, I should say, that I've seen a tube get talked about, at least proficiently, was when Luke Palmer on St. Clair was throwing the tube. Beyond that, I mean, it's been rather quiet. I feel like a lot of people still throw it. I know you still throw it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think people don't talk about it.
You don't like, I think a specific tube that has really disappeared from the scene is not so much like a dragging smallmouth tube, but a flipping tube.
Mm.
Like the
flipping tube. We're going to move on from that segment. Like
completely disappeared. I know I have it almost always tied on because it just works. But yeah.
The flipping isn't that crazy tube. Though? Just a freaking tube. Something so simple. Because when you watch it fall, like a flipping tube, you're like, this makes no sense. It doesn't do anything.
No,
it's so effective. I don't know. And last one we have, at least from the Instagram story we put out, Josh Bertrand says the power worm, which is another great one. So power worm, for if anybody doesn't know what a power worm is, I mean, that's the OG, that's the classic, you know, the ribbon tail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people, again, like, it's kind of like this tube, right? Where there's definitely people still throwing it. I mean, you and I last summer were throwing that sucker pretty decent amount. We'll leave it at that. But you just don't hear people talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Other ones we had that are really good ones that we aren't mentioning today are a floating worm. Our boy Angler from the Hood mentioned that on the floating worm.
Oh, Najee, that's a good one.
Let's see, and that's what I'm doing here. We have Beast Coast Fishing said the OG cream scoundrel. I don't even know if I know what that is.
Oh, I'm looking that up.
Look it up and then share screen it, and I'll keep going down this list. Hunter Shryak said jig who. You don't hear, I mean, besides, you know, Christy at the Classic, you don't hear about guys just going, I mean, people just think, you know, flipping a jig is flipping a jig. There's definitely, I will say, not all jigs are made the same.
So the scoundrel is like a 4 and a 6 inch and an 8 inch. So hold on, let me,
I don't even know what it is. Is it a worm?
Yeah,
I'm assuming cream, obviously, it's, but scoundrel, I mean, I don't know.
Boom, there it is.
Is this the one where it's like the two inline hooks deal?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Gary was actually talking about this. $1.30. What? I wish tackle could still be that cheap.
Yeah. $4.37. That's incredible. The 4 inch, $1.19, but it's a one pack, right? Like, so it's $1.19 per bait, I'm assuming. Yeah, so you can get a 20 pack for $3.69.
We have a lot of Banjo Minnow comments.
Oh, Banjo Minnow.
Banjo Minnow, the flying lure, the helicopter lure. He said, to name a few of the famous Saturday infomercials best. That's from Greg Tubbs. Pretty good. We have one from 47 Degrees Fishing that says, and I don't know what this is. I could be getting teased here, but maybe you'll know. He says, definitely the Joe Camel humpback lure. You know what that is?
Camel. No. Joe Camel humpback.
I'm probably getting pranked right now.
No, you're not. It's like an old. Here it is. Let me pull it up on eBay here. I can share my screen out of
on the eBay.
Give me a second.
You can do it. Let's see. So last one's to round it out while you pull it up. There's Daredevils. Then someone said the split shot rig, which definitely is still very effective. Big inline spinner, Rapala minnows, and a floating fly.
It was a rebel lure. It's like a crawfish or something.
So that's actually a legit thing. Joe Camel.
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic. You're not being played, buddy.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, with those Phil McCracken things. Like, I was reading over a few times, and I'm like, am I getting played here?
You might be.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, those are all good ones.
Yeah. Well, and so, Andy, what I'll do is I'll kick it off, being that we kind of already went over one of mine here, and that was the cream worm, the OG, you know, mm-hmm. The one that so many people threw. Gary was actually talking about this yesterday down in Florida. talking about the worm and different ways he rigs it. Some, and that led to the conversation on this little sneaky rig that I'm excited to get in and at least test out. Cause it is odd looking. I mean, the part you order, it looked like it comes from a hardware store, not a tackle shop.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting. I'm very intrigued, but yeah, I'm with the cream worm. I mean, I think a worm in general, I mean, all I see it now is, for me personally, there's three major ways I think like a finesse worm or a cream worm type style is being rigged. And that is on a drop shot, shaky head, and an eco. You don't see much of that anymore. And that's a great example of like that cream worm on like a split shot rig.
I thought you were about to go slider rig.
You could do slider. You could do, I mean, that slider rig, I mean, do it molds just made out a mold exactly for that. So there's definitely certainly people still throwing that. I'm intrigued to take that jig head we're pouring with that, with do it molds, and try that next year. See if there's a place in New York. I know that's like a St. John's River thing. Not St. John's River. The James River thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going cream worm for the first one, just because we already talked about it. So I won't go too in depth. What's your first one to start diving into these?
So I'm not going like a specific bait. Well, actually, I'm going very specific bait, and because, I mean, everyone knows that spinnerbait is still around, right? But like, there's a specific one from like the 90s and early 2000s, and I watched a guy that basically taught me how to bass fish throw this thing, and he's won a lot of money on it, and it's a Stanley Vibra wedge spinnerbait. And the reason why that spinnerbait is so cool is that the blades are a little bit more unique and they put off a ton of thump for a willow blade. And there are certain colors, and I wish I still had some because I've had Pike steal them from me, but they're an amazing spinnerbait and I really need to buy more. And if I can get my hands on some of the OG ones, even better.
So what makes them so unique?
I think they were one of the first spinnerbaits that had like a thinner wire on them that gave off more vibration than just like your standard spinnerbait on the market. Now, all these spinnerbaits have thin wires on them, but a lot of them run the same style blades. And the Vibra Wedge spinnerbait had a very unique blade to them to where it almost cusped at the end of the willow. So when it thumped, it created like a big list and roll to the crank to the spinnerbait, but it ran true. Tons of noise. Yeah, it was a good spinnerbait.
All right. So you can't get them now, is what you're saying.
You can get them. They've just remade them, and they're not as good as the old ones.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of different baits.
Yeah.
I mean, I still throw the heck out of a Lucky Craft square bill, but they're not what they used to be. So to continue, I'll say with my second one, it's one I've actually thrown this year, caught fish on this year. In the course of throwing it over the years, I haven't really found a place where it works in tandem, or better or worse, I should say, like than a football jig, and that's the spider grub. And you brought this one up offline, but that's one that I know, and I'm not going to go in too much detail on a specific region, but I know there's some people that still throw that heavy, that wax them on it and win some tournaments on it. And so I know it still has a place, but I've just always been curious. You don't see many people throw it anymore. You don't see people talking about it anymore. But like when it comes to throwing that thing, is it just in your mind, is it a finessier football jig? Like what would you classify it as?
Yeah, I would think so. But it's funny, like whenever I threw a spider grub and whenever I do throw it still, like I throw it on like 15-pound test and casting gear and pretty stout football head because I just want to jack them. Like, because it's a jig bite. Like, I find when I use a spinning rod, I have to go to a really light wire hook. And when you go to a really light wire hook with a long shank to fit some of these spider grub bodies, that hook flexes a lot easier. So I like to go with a more stouty hook and a beefier setup and just winch them in.
So with that being said, though, like you're pulling up, say, to a rock pile, just for example, when are you picking up the spider grub over a football jig? Or Ned, like what's your determination of spider grub might be better here?
So the spider grub is going to be a more streamlined profile. So it's basically like the same thing, right? Like it's a jig. It has a skirt and has a plastic body with two arms that flap, two flappers. And actually, I have some. I was just looking down at them. That's what made me think of a spider grub right here next to me. But I feel like, one, it has less resistance in the water, so it actually sinks a lot faster than your typical football jig with a silicone skirt. And it's a more slimmed down, finessey profile as opposed to a silicone skirt. So when that silicone skirt hits the bottom of the lake, what's it do? It usually opens up and falls, right? And then you have your trailer. As to where with the spider grub, it's all intact and it's plastic and it's all the same material. So it's just slowly undulating underneath, as opposed to like when you hop it and stop it, it just kind of opens up.
Now, is your favorite the Yamamoto? Or do you have one?
Yeah, Yamamoto makes a great one. And then Kitech actually makes a spider grub, a really good spider grub as well.
So if you had to pick one or the other.
Probably Yamamoto, because they're easier to find and they have more color options.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, second one, Andy, what you got?
Man's baby one minus. And it's just a general bait. Well, it's a specific bait in a general realm, and I think I should have just said wake baits. I feel like wake baits, there are still a few people who throw them, but like in the general reality of it, you never hear about a wake bait bite. Ever.
To be honest, the only person I know of that really talks about throwing wake baits is Christine Fisher. She loves throwing. I mean, at least in following some of her videos and in talks, she loves throwing freaking wake bait.
And it's just one of those baits that just gets absolutely chewed if you know where to throw it and the right time to throw it.
I feel like Sixth Sense has a really good one.
Yeah, that speed wake or whatever it is.
There it is, speed wake. I think like that perfect size and owl life profile.
Yeah, you like that one.
That's like the only one I own, really, to be honest.
But yeah, like I back in the day when I first started bass fishing, I always threw a baby one minus, and I caught a lot of fish on it. And then one day I just set it down and completely forgot about it. And then here we are 8 years later, and I'm like, ooh, this is a bait that I haven't thought about in a very long time.
Yeah. And what I'll do here too, just to interject, if these are on Omnia Fishing, I will plug these down in the description so you guys can go check them out. At least our favorites anyways. Obviously some of these are, you know, generic, like if you say a spider grub, it could be a couple different brands. We'll put our favorites down there if you guys want to take advantage of that. And with that really quick, Omnia is doing 35% off Berkley
right now.
While supplies last, so 35% off. There's Maxcent involved. Get your butt on over there. I'll be throwing Maxcent this weekend for the last derb of the year. The first ever New York Invitational.
That's a killer deal.
Top 10 anglers from each trail in New York. I think it's like 60 people fishing. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. I will be throwing Maxcent. I'll tell you what. All right, so we're on a third one, right?
Yeah.
That was fast.
Your turn.
Dude, one, I feel like that when anyone thinks about just like fishing in general, and especially like if you look up the most basic SEO search on like fishing baits, this comes up, a lizard.
Oh, that's such a good one. I always forget about a lizard.
Like I, if people still awesome, throw it.
Awesome childhood memories catching so many smallmouth bass on a lizard. It's unbelievable. And it's like completely disappeared from like my tackle box since I was like 15.
What do you think? The brush hog is the reason that the lizard isn't in most people's boat or not being thrown by people as much anyway, I should say.
It could be.
The only time I ever see a lizard still being used is either a Carolina rig or bed fishing.
Yeah, but do you see a brush hog being used all that much either?
Brush hog, the most I've ever seen a brush hog being used is on a Carolina rig. I know some people throw them flipping or bed fishing too.
But it's all, and you can put that in a list of baits that it's not forgotten about, but it's getting to that point. Because far less and less people are actually throwing a brush hog.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm not, this might make some people mad. I'm not a big fan of the brush hog.
I only use the junior for very specific applications.
Honestly, I like the Reaction Innovations Man Bear Pig more.
It's a good one.
It's got less plastic to go through.
Oh, it's a Strike King one. Is it like a Game Hog or something like that, I think?
I have no idea.
And the Caffeine series is pretty good as well.
I mean, the Brush Hawk's good. It is a classic. But, yeah, I don't know. The Lizard, man. I really got no explanation for it. Pick up the Lizard, people.
I dig it.
Pick up the Lizard.
Pick it up.
Bring it back.
Throw the Lizard. Pick it up. Throw it. Catch fish.
What's your third one, Andy?
Generic Tailspin. And this is for all like the deep water fishermen. Like, it feels like the Tailspin disappeared when the blade bait picked up a lot of popularity. And the Tailspin was like the OG deep water fish catcher. And then let's switch it up and go to a blade. Like, and then you can do some mods with the blade and make it into a bladed Tailspin. Like, it's one of those things that is forgotten about, but it's still just absolutely catches them. Now, there's brands that are better than others, and there's a few on Omnia that are pretty good. So,
what's your favorite one?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Going to the Duo.
Yeah, I know you like the Duo. Actually, mine is hooks. Like the Helps. So, mine that I've caught the most fish on, I think it's like, was it the 1,000 fish? Hold on, I gotta find it. I forgot what it's called.
There was a tournament. I want to say it was like 2019 that was won. I want to say it was like Lay Lake or something like that. That was won on Tailspin. I want to say it was an FLW that was actually won.
Yeah, it's the 10,000 Fish Death Stalker bladed jig, and it's like a hybrid between a blade and a Tailspin.
Pull that sucker up.
Let me see if it's on Omnia.
I am curious. I know that they're known for like having line throughs, right?
10,000 fish. It is not on Omnia, so can I pull it up on Tackle Warehouse and put it on here? Do you think that
matters? All right. We're just trying to show the people. Yeah. Who makes the one that's a line through? I'm trying to remember.
This is it right here.
Yes.
I've caught some really big ones on this color and this color, Lemon Drop. And it's a 1/2 ounce. That baby gets down so quick because it's only like, I think it's only 2 inches. Like, it is tiny. And they freaking, every time they get it, it's down their gullet. And you have to, like, do surgery to get them out. But, yeah, that's a really, really good bait.
I do like that color.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So, for it only has one spin. Because I feel like a decent amount of people don't own a Tailspin, never thrown a Tailspin. They probably know what a Tailspin is, but they won't either don't know how to utilize it or how to fish it. How do you go about fishing a Tailspin?
Oh, so there's two different ways that I fish it. One is I hop it slowly, let it fall, pause, hop, reel down on the slack, and hop. So you're kind of making a commotion. That tail's just spinning. And then the other way is just literally creeping it as slow as you can, either on the bottom if there's no rock or just above the bottom. And those fish will just...
So you're kind of like more subtle, like mm-hmm. you're ripping a blade bait type of deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like a real subtle yo-yo.
I found a schooling fish. If you work it kind of like a Damiki in the sense of you just let that thing tight line in front of them, above them, that can work pretty well too. There were some fish that were bumping the Damiki that I decided just to, because the water was a little bit dirtier, I threw that Tailspin, that Duo one. Again, I like that one because they literally come stock with Ichikawas, but they're also double treble hooked. And essentially with that blade, I mean, as long as you hold that there and that there's, you have line, that blade is going to move. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just, and it's one obviously using forward facing, but it's one that you can straight reel that sucker. Like, you can slow roll that, you know, above a grass line.
Oh, you just froze. You still there, buddy? Oh, came back for a second.
My Wi-Fi is deciding it's not.
Oh. Gotta love it. good old technology, you must have Spectrum. And I'm not bashing Spectrum, just their internet is awful. But I have the same issues at my house. But I think what Bailey was saying about the tailspin there is that I might be completely wrong here, but I think he tries to creep it over top of the grass at a certain speed, and the fish will actually come up and eat that. Or if you're drifting, when Bailey's on a kayak and you're trying to Damiki rig with them, as you're drifting and tight lining it, that blade continues to spin and gives them extra flash. Right.
Yeah. You got me back now.
Yeah, I got you back. Welcome back.
We can never do this, man. What the heck? You come back. And you're like, no, we don't want you here.
Turn all Wi-Fi off.
Yeah. I'm bad, dude. But yeah, essentially that's, I like to do that. And especially around, I mean, you know, there's bait balls and stuff, reeling them through there. It's a good one. But I mean, we could go on and on with this list. I mean, I know we did three each, but there's a lot of baits that certainly are still being used somewhat, but they're just not talked about anymore. Mm-hmm. At least not in mainstream media. They just said they're overlooked because there's something new, something flashy, or it's not being utilized with the current technology.
Well,
it looks like it's like a year of Damiki, jerkbait, drop shot.
Yeah, it's been a fun year.
It is, but at the same point in time, I also like to just mix everything up.
Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to do when I go out, like, practicing or fun fishing. Like, I'm like, you know, I haven't caught a fish on a football jig in 6 months. I'm going to throw that thing until I catch one. And I catch one, I'm like, okay, I'm done. It was only a 2-pounder. Let me throw it. It actually works.
Put it back in the box. Okay, see you in 8 months.
Like, I think I caught something. I was throwing, I forgot what the bait was, say, oh, it's just a single swim bait. And I caught, like, a 2-pounder on it. And I was like, yeah, this ain't working. I literally wrapped it up, put the rod sleeve on, threw it in the rod box. And I was like, I might see you Saturday. I haven't decided yet, but you're going to stay there.
You stay.
Yeah.
Be good. Be a good boy.
Be a good boy.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Andy, this was fun. Forgotten baits. If you guys have one you think we missed, comment please down below. Yeah, DM us on social media. Curious to see from your guys, whether your upbringing or something, you have the box that you throw that you don't see being talked about right now. Let us know. But fun show getting back into the swing of things. I got to get up early and I'm running on like 4 hours of sleep right now. So I am about to crash. We really wanted to get a episode out for you guys for today and kind of do some of these more topic based things. We got a lot coming down the hopper for this show, but also for the Serious Angler Podcast Network in general. Literally about a month, we got a brand new show coming to the network.
Ooh, I keep forgetting about that. I'm awful.
I mean, we've been running around like chickens with their head cut off for the past couple of weeks. So
yeah, I'm like looking forward to December so I can have a break, like a breather.
Yeah, you and me both. I want to be implementing some of our ideas we're talking about behind the scenes that are going to be big for you guys. And I'll say one thing to drop a little hint. Coming around November 1st, keep that marked on your calendar because we are going to be doing a live stream on November 1st, being that is a Wednesday because Halloween is that Tuesday. We will have a live stream and you do not want to miss that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So as well as next Tuesday, we'll be going live with Easton Fothergill, who just won the college bass bracket, headed to the Classic. We're going to get him on, kind of break some things down. His tournament partner is a good pal of mine, Nick Dumke, who works at Wired to Fish. Kid's a grinder. So he comes highly recommended, as well as obviously seeing the reception of after he won that thing. So super excited to break down kind of where he got it, like where his route brought him to, which is fishing the Classic. But what happened all these years leading up to it, and kind of break down his skill set and who he is as an angler. Because with these college kids, you definitely see a lot of them. You can see the hard work, but sometimes it's harder to, when you're in team tournaments, it's hard to really let your fishing personality show, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a good time to get him on here and break all that down. Looking forward to that. Andy, for anybody that wants to get into some steelhead this fall, being that it is October, finally, even though it doesn't feel like it's 80 freaking degrees today.
I'm going to keep the boat out as long as I can as well. So, like, I'm hoping that I can get bass trips and steelhead trips in through November. But basically, the first half, that's great. The first half of November is basically booked for Steelhead Trips. I have some days left of the second half, and all of December is still wide open. So,
does that mean I can steal your boat and go for bass?
Maybe.
That'd be a bad idea. Let me borrow your boat.
Nah, you can take it. It's fine. That's what insurance is for.
Yeah. Yeah. Break it, you buy it.
Yes. Facts.
But yeah, get in touch with Andy. As always, his contact is down below in the description, or just reach out over social media. Got some cool shows lined up for you guys. Big things in the hopper. Really trying to give back before the end of the year, because some things might change going forward in 2024. But change is for the better. So appreciate you guys as always. You guys are awesome. We'll see all of you next Tuesday night or next live show. Peace. Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanga fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.